To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz on a game day. Joining us now to talk about the Chargers, he covers them for The Athletic. That is Daniel Popper. Thanks for joining us today, my friend.
Thanks for having me.
First and most important question, are you related to John Popper from Blues Traveler?
I am not, but okay. It's become a recurring bit on various radio shows that they'll play me in with some Blues Brothers tunes.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure. We'll start with the quarterback at first. Herbert, do you assume he's going to play tonight, or is this some gamesmanship and you think it'll be Trey Lance?
No, I'm expecting him to play. I've covered his entire career, and I've seen him play through some pretty gnarly injuries, whether that was fractured rib cartilage in 2022, a high ankle sprain. Last season, he's even played through a broken finger on his offhand before in 2023. So I'm expecting him to play. I think the bigger question is, you know, how does it change the structure of the offense? How much will he be able to play under center? How does that change things from a game plan perspective for Jim Harbaugh and Greg Roman?
Yeah, well, I mean, that is the next question. So if you assume that, you know, under center is more difficult and the running game is more difficult, how does that, like, mess with the identity of what the Chargers have been successful with so far this season?
Yeah, so in that game against the Raiders last week when he broke his hand early in the game, they kind of shifted their run game to a lot of pistol stuff. He didn't take an under center snap after he broke his hand on that first drive, but they were able to transition a lot of their looks into the pistol formation. So I would assume if he can't play under center, you would see a lot of pistol and they could get to some stuff from that. Obviously, what that eliminates is some eye formation stuff, which they like to do with Scott Matlock as their fullback. Takes away some of the play action boot game that you can get to from under center. We'll see exactly what happens here. I mean, in practice this week during some walkthrough stuff, he was aligning under center when they were going through those snaps and concepts. However, he wasn't actually taking the snap. Center Bradley Bozeman was sort of turning around and handing it to him. So it'll be interesting to see. I think, you know, they will be prepared if they really want to go under center and Justin Herbert can't, for Trey Lance to come into the game and do some of that stuff. The only, like, situations where I could really see that happening is, you know, some goal line looks or maybe four-minute offense. So a lot to be determined in terms of what the structure of the offense actually looks like. But the pistol formation is available to them, and they can get to a lot of their run stuff out of that formation.
And last thing on Herbert, when he was in practice, is he wearing a cast on his non-throwing hand? What is he dealing with in terms of protecting that?
Yeah, so he went through a couple of different variations this week. Early on in the week when he returned to practice, he had kind of like a plastic brace / cast over his glove. Later in the week, he transitioned to sort of like a baseball guard, like a Nike baseball guard that you would wear over your hand if you were in the batter's box. So I think they're kind of working through some different variations, and we saw a couple of those this week. Obviously, I'll have my binoculars out at SoFi during warmups to see exactly which variation of it they're going with in the game. But something hard to cover the top of the hand where the break occurred to try and eliminate a potential re-injury situation.
This team, Daniel, from an identity standpoint, it's been a little hard to figure out. Most people would think a Harbaugh team is a run-based sort of offense, but Justin Herbert has put the ball up pretty well this year. He's had a lot of success throwing the football this year, getting the ball spread around to his guys. So they throw the ball with effectiveness as well. Him not being, I wonder how will this broken hand sort of affect what they do going into the game tonight? Do they lean more to that run game, or do they still do what they've done a lot of, which is actually throw the ball at times this year?
Yeah, I would expect them to lean into the run game for a few reasons. Obviously, number one is what Herbert's dealing with the hand. Number two is they're down both of their starting tackles, and they've been working with a bunch of different variations up front this year, and they can't really drop back in the same way without Joe Alt and Rashawn Slater on the field. And then you go back to how the Eagles' defense played against the Bears in that Black Friday game, what the Bears were able to do on the ground, getting into a lot of spread formations and 11 personnel and being able to run out of some of those looks. So I would expect them to run a decent amount. You know, I don't think it's as much related to Herbert's hands as it is, like, they can't really pass protect when they're going into traditional drop back just because of the injuries. And so when they have, you know, been successful throwing the ball since those injuries, it's been a lot of quick game and then a lot of play action where they can mass protect it up front and be more secure there in terms of pushing it down the field. So for those reasons, I think they're going to lean into the run game, but I think you're exactly right. You know, identity-wise, it's been tough to pin down exactly what this team is, largely because of a lot of these injuries up front.
Daniel Popper of The Athletic with us, who covers the Chargers. Wanted to ask you about a former Eagle that it's sort of funny. We all look at the Eagles' struggles in the run game this year and say, ah, they should have kept Mekhi Becton. And then they look at Mekhi Becton, who seems like he has struggled over there. What has the story been with him this year? Has it been injury? Has it been him not playing well? Why hasn't he settled in well there when he played so well here last year?
Yeah, kind of all of the above. You start with, you know, the inability to stay on the field. You know, you go back to week one in Brazil, he had food poisoning. He's had a hand injury that's knocked him out of games. He had a concussion. He's had a knee issue. So he hasn't played consistently in terms of staying on the field. When he has been on the field, it's been very up and down. He's obviously a better run blocker than pass protector, but he hasn't lived up to the billing in either area. He's had some moments, but I think, like, as far as why it hasn't transitioned as well, you know, the Chargers went into the season thinking they were going to have Rashawn Slater at left tackle and Joe Alt at right tackle. They lose both of them, Rashawn in training camp. Alt missed time early in the season with a high ankle sprain and ended up suffering a season-ending high ankle injury later in the season. So not having those two pieces, I think, has been an impact. He's playing next to a worse center in Bradley Bozeman. So it just hasn't clicked. I think he's playing in a worse environment in terms of the players around him. He obviously in Philadelphia had arguably the best offensive line coach in the league and Jeff Stoutland. And then he's really struggled to stay on the field and, you know, has dealt with numerous ailments, and that's obviously impacted his ability to find a rhythm as well.
So the Eagles offense has not been great this year. If you're looking at what they're matched up against with the Chargers defensively, where are the soft spots with the Chargers that the Eagles could potentially take advantage of?
Yeah, well, I think you start with the run defense. The Chargers have been very inconsistent in that area throughout the season. They had their bye in week 11, came out of the bye and made some adjustments against the Raiders just in terms of devoting more resources to the line of scrimmage. They showed some five-man fronts with inside linebacker Deion Henley playing more of an edge role. They started rotating some safeties down pre-snap to show single high and get that extra body in the box. And it worked against the Raiders, but the Raiders are the worst rushing team in the league. So I think first and foremost, you have to try and test that out and see if those adjustments are actually real or not. You know, secondly, in terms of pass defense, the Chargers are very, very good in terms of defending passes outside the numbers, number one in pass defense efficiency outside the numbers. In between the numbers, they're 24th in pass defense efficiency, these numbers from True Media. And so, obviously, a lot of talk about how Jalen Hurts doesn't love to throw over the middle of the field, but if there is a weakness in this Chargers pass defense, it is in those areas of the field over the middle. So, can the Eagles run the ball? And then can Jalen Hurts, you know, attack the middle of the field where the Chargers have some limitations, particularly, you know, Denzel Perryman, an inside linebacker, is probably their weak link in the back seven in terms of pass defense. So those are the two areas I would be focusing on if I was, you know, game planning against the Chargers defense.
Yeah, I'm interested in what the, I guess, the thought on the Eagles offense right now is from out there, whether it be from, I don't know how much you can glean from the Chargers standpoint, because I'm sure they're going to be respectful in their assessment of the Eagles offense. But from the fan base out there, what do you guys think when you think of the Eagles offense and you watch the Eagles offense this year? How do you feel they've operated?
Yeah, you know, I think that just talking to guys in the locker room, I think there's respect for the talent.
Yeah.
There's certainly respect for what Jalen Hurts can be as a runner, particularly. I think the Chargers are expecting, you know, that knob to be turned up in terms of the amount of design rushes that Jalen Hurts is taking in this game. You know, not push design rushes, but design rushes from 3+ yards to gain on first down, just in terms of power, zone read, quarterback draw, some of that stuff. Obviously, the weapons on the outside of receiver are very legit, and there's, you know, a lot of respect for, you know, Devonta Smith and A.J. Brown. I think, like, just from what I saw on tape and some of the conversations that I had in the locker room, it's just looked a little disjointed. You know, a lot of penalties. I mean, the Eagles are fifth in the NFL in penalty yards on offense this season. You just watch the film back, and there's guys running into each other, you know, and I mentioned specifically Dallas Goedert tripping up Jordan Mailata and that, you know, slicing across the formation early in that game against the Bears. But the reality is, like, it could click at any moment. And I think there's a certain respect level there just as far as what they have from a talent standpoint. And, you know, even though the Eagles have been struggling, I don't see or have an understanding that the Chargers are overlooking this offense to any capacity at all.
So what's your gut tell you about tonight? The Philadelphia Eagles are a difficult team for us who watch them every single week and talk about them incessantly to really figure out what we're getting out of them tonight. What does your gut tell you about this game tonight?
I'm expecting, like, low scoring, ugly game, defensive game, and, you know, see who sort of pulls it out at the end. You know, I think the Chargers are going to have a good plan for the Eagles offense. I think a lot will come down to how they defend the run. If they're able to do that, I think they're going to take away these outside throws and force Jalen Hurts to throw over the middle. The Chargers just have a lot of question marks on offense. You know, what is Herbert going to be with his hand? How much can they go under center? You know, they ran the ball well against the Raiders, but what will that look like against, you know, a better unit with the Eagles? So I'm not expecting a big offensive game tonight. I think it's going to be both defenses playing well, and then, you know, whoever makes the play at the end is going to pull it out. That's sort of my expectation heading into this one.
All right, man. We appreciate your time today and the insight, and you can read Daniel's work over at The Athletic. We appreciate it, man. Thank you.
Appreciate it, man.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Yep.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Come to DSW for the shoes. Stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead. Try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
So it's funny.
Do you think Elliot's jealous of all at all about how we handled that interview?
Oh, and didn't challenge him?
Yeah.
He go, we saw one of your tweets and we think you're a moron.
Hey, idiot.
Yeah. Hey, dummy.
Do you think that athletes should be able to bet on themselves?
Yeah, we saw your hair when you were on vacation. It looked dumb. You're short. You have small feet.
Yeah, I'm sure Elliot feels that way anytime we bring somebody else on besides him.
But, you know,
yeah, we don't really yell at anybody else.
Well, in fairness, when we yelled at Joe and we had listeners insult him at the camera.
Oh, yeah, that's the only other one. Yes.
But I'm sure when Elliot goes on these other shows in other cities, they treat him with all sorts of respect, too.
Yes. He's not used to getting that type of love wherever he goes.
Nah, he doesn't know. So it was interesting hearing him talk about the pass defense and what this is setting. So he is saying they're good outside the numbers. They're bad inside the numbers.
Yep.
So this is a setup for the Eagles to look good doing something that they haven't done well before.
How many times they throw over the middle?
Well, if the guy that covers the team tells us the really bad covering over the middle and the really good outside the numbers. Holy hell, man. I'm just saying that this has all the makings of one of those games where the next morning everyone's, but I was told he can't, da 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 da. I mean, it's right there for them, right? I mean, the question is, are they able to take advantage of it? If they're disadvantaged.
The question is, will he throw it?
Will he throw it?
Will he do it?
What do you think?
I don't know. I don't think so. Here's what I'll tell you.
Yeah.
I'd be more surprised if he's doing it versus him not doing it.
Yeah.
I expect him not to do it because that's what he's not done. Like that, sure. So if he's doing it tonight, I'd be pleasantly surprised.
Well, it's worth mentioning, too. I mean, the Bears were on their sixth set of linebackers, and we didn't do it
that's
against
what I'm
them.
Saying. Yeah.
You know, and the run game, the way that he's saying it, the run game has an opportunity to do something tonight. But, yeah, that's... They just got a wonderful
game. Yeah, it's going to be ugly, man. Yeah. It's going to be ugly. Man, you know, so let me ask you, is this fair or not? Because I was thinking about this with the coaching.
Okay.
And, you know, I've been on record. I'm not as big on the whole schematic part of what everybody else is complaining about.
You're talking
about the coaching.
Play calling.
Play calling, rhythm. Yep. Complimentary play calling. But here's the other thing also. When these games are tight like this, coaching decisions matter.
Mm-hmm.
How comfortable are we in that situation? Like, we've had a couple of the last three games, there's been decisions made late in the game that we lost one. I'm not saying we lost the game because we went for 2 points against Chicago. Still was a questionable decision late in that game, right?
Detroit. Yes.
Yeah, that, and we know the Green Bay game, throwing it deep versus punting when you're up two scores. Those are coaching decisions that could have also cost us games.
And those aren't – I don't think those are Petullo coaching decisions.
I agree.
Those are
Nick decisions or collective effort decisions. I'm just wondering, when the game is tight like this, how confident are we that we're going to make that right decision as well?
Oh, not confident at all.
Because that's been a part of the equation as well. Like, changing up the offense after halftime in Tampa because somebody complained they're not getting the ball.
Yeah.
Right? And we don't even complete a pass in the second half.
Yeah. I'm not.
There's been some coaching things that have put us in some precarious positions as well.
Well, the other thing is that
the Denver game, I think about, only two runs in the second half.
The team has had an opportunity to make those decisions look better. You know, the only defense, I agree. If I were the devil's advocate
there's
and create a defense
there, yes. yep.
and say, like, look, the team's playing bad. So when the team's playing relatively, then most of your decisions are
going to come out wrong.
Are going to look bad.
Yeah.
You know, and that's now, even in the moment, the punting decision against the Lions or it seemed insane, or against the Packers.
The Packers, yeah.
Seemed insane to me.
Yeah.
There have been decisions, or at the end of the first half.
The Lions, it was the two-score game that we right? Is that right, Fritz?
What's the one where they should have punted?
One we should have punted and we didn't. We went for it. I think that was
the
Lions.
Green Bay is when they took the deep shot late.
Okay.
No, there's one we went for it and got stopped on fourth down.
That was Detroit.
That was Detroit. That was the Lions game.
That was Detroit. Yeah.
Back-to-back weeks of questionable.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. And then you throw the Chicago game in there when they went for the two-point conversion. I'm just saying that there are coaching decisions that's also adding to what the players are doing. In other words, the coaching isn't necessarily making up for the
inadequacies
or inadequacies of the offense.
Well, I think at the end of the day, like you've said the phrase complimentary football a lot.
Yeah.
Nobody's the rhythm of everything is off. Not just the rhythm of the players with themselves, but even like the coaches. I feel like if I were in their position, I wouldn't even know what to do. You know, I wonder sometimes when they go for it on a fourth
down. Here's when I wouldn't be aggressive.
Well, yeah.
I don't know what they've done this year to say us we should be aggressive.
Well, I wonder if this goes through his mind. When they're going for it in that Detroit game, if they're saying, man, if we can get this one.
This will
Maybe this maybe this helps everybody.
It's only a yard.
Yeah, a yard's harder than it's ever been for the Philadelphia Eagles. 215.
I'm with you there.
215. I'm just trying to put myself in their headspace, they've all seemed like, except for the one that we disagreed on was the going for two decision. But overall, I think we've been on the same page on all those other ones.
Somebody did that yesterday too, right?
I don't know. I know
somebody
they were talking
did. Somebody
about
did the 2-point thing yesterday. Oh, Cleveland.
Oh, did they?
Cleveland.
So they took Shador off
the
field?
The hell is, no. They went for it the first time for two when they didn't need to. They went to cut the lead to 6.
Okay.
They could have just kicked the extra point to make it
to 7.
And they fumbled the snap on a 2-point conversion and didn't get it.
So they ended up down 8.
So they ended up down 8, and then they had to go for 2 at the end of the game, and then they took Shador off the field.
215-592-9494. It is a gut check game day on the WIP afternoon show.
They referred to it as the mistake by the lake.
Yes, I've heard that.
I see why.
A number of times. Bruce in D.C., you're on WIP. What's up, Bruce?
Hi, Frank and Jackie Baseball. Good afternoon, everyone.
What's up, Furry Bruce?
Hey.
See, I knew you liked that. I knew you liked that name. Yeah, he likes that name.
Hey, hopefully after this game, I'll be able to put on a furry costume and go out and holler in the morning instead of waking up the next day and walking out in the morning screaming at the damn clouds.
Well, you would look a little ridiculous in the morning with the furry costume, for sure.
No, absolutely. Hey, but look, before I get into my commentary, I just want to say thanks for standing in your truth on this on their Dukes of Hazzard on Friday afternoon. I didn't get a chance to get on. I had to say that. So thanks for bringing me in on this, Jack. Because I had to say something. You know, I got a little interesting tidbit about that was never brought up.
Go ahead.
And let me just say, I was the same way. I love Dukes of Hazzard because of Daisy Dukes.
That's right.
And we all grew up, and we never looked at the Confederate flag. We didn't even.
Yeah.
A lot of my classmates.
I didn't know it.
African American.
I didn't know it. Yeah.
And just so you know, a lot of people don't know that Two Live Crew in the 90s made a hit song about Daisy Dukes off of the same thing. So people need to relax.
A lot of us do know that. Yeah.
That's right.
A lot of our generation do know that. We do know that.
Exactly. And people are too sensitive.
Look at that girl with the Dance Dukes on.
Man,
Two Live Crew had a moment. They definitely had a moment.
Yeah.
But anyway, this game is it's a must win.
Of course.
There's no doubt about it. Because here's the thing. Here's the way I see this. You know, these stories, like today, they're talking about there's a bunny in the locker room for morale. And
you know a thing or two about that, right, Furry Bruce?
Yeah.
Hey,
they should have asked you to be the bunny.
Right. Yeah.
I guess I walked into that one.
Yeah.
But, you know, and then Saquon and his comments about stuff on the sideline, I'm worried about this team. And the only way from a leadership standpoint, is to come out here with a cohesive game plan and get it together on the offense. And the thing, I said this before, a lot of this stuff is correctable. The penalties, if they come out with penalties, they eliminate the penalties. That was a loss for two of the games right there. And come with a sustainable running game. I'm still looking to see them use the other running backs. I think if we do part of that at the play, a game plan, and Jalen just stays focused on using his legs more. You know, this whole thing about him, I'm going to do what it takes to win. Well, guess what? We got to win one tonight, Jalen. Use your damn legs a little bit more because that's what powered the offense partly last year too. So I think if they do all of those things together, we should be able to come out with a good win tonight versus anything else because, I tell you, if it goes bad, they're going to be in trouble. So.
Yeah, if it goes bad, I think we're giving a eulogy tomorrow. I mean, if it goes bad, not just lose, if it goes bad. So what does your gut tell you, Furry Bruce?
My gut tells me I have faith in this team. I had a lot of criticisms, you know, but I believe after everything that has happened, and I hope they took a look at some of those games yesterday where people were putting it all on the line. They're going to come out tonight. And they're going to give us a good victory. It's a semi-home game. They should be able to handle it. And I have faith in this team, and we'll see.
All right.
10-point victory. 10-point, 10 to 12-point victory.
Oh, that it? All right. Thank you for it.
10 to 12-point victory? I don't know if I'm predicting double-digit wins.
They got to score double digits to win.
Exactly, yeah. I don't know if I'm predicting double-digit wins.
They are still a 2.5-point favorite. So they were 2.5, then it dropped down at some point during the weekend. It dropped down to 1.5. And then this morning I looked again, and it was back up to 2.5.
Yeah.
So I thought the drop to 1.5 meant that they got more sure that Herbert was playing, and then maybe people jumped on that if you're betting the Eagles. So Eagles still a favorite on the road, as bad as things have been.
I don't know how you bet the Eagles.
I don't know how you bet
the Eagles. I don't know how anybody bets the Eagles.
Well, especially because last week was an Eagles line. Eagles Bears.
Yes.
7.
Yeah, for sure.
Even though some people said
don't.
Yeah, even though that person also picked 31-21.
It don't matter about that.
Come on, let him do his thing. Let the guy do his thing.
I'm
Holy
trying to save
cow.
You money, man.
Yeah.
It's the holidays.
You were very clear. I'm going to give you the score.
Exactly.
But
yeah.
I prefer that you do not lay the 7. 215-592-9494. It's a must win tonight. What does your gut tell you? Do they save the season and win this game tonight? They have it in them. Coming up next, a lot of updates as the winter meetings are going on with the Phillies. So we will have all the Schwarber updates and the High Hopes Jackie Baseball Report. And we will talk about the Positivity Bunny, and we won't let them call it a rabbit. That is a bunny. It is a bunny. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.
The FanDuel Sportsbook app in partnership with Valley Forge Casino is your home for all your favorite NFL bets. From touchdowns to yards to who will win, with FanDuel, any play can be the play of the game. Tonight, FanDuel is giving all customers a 30% profit boost token. That's right. You can get in on the action with a 30% profit boost token this Monday night. So make FanDuel your go-to app for any snap. Just visit FanDuel.com/Ike to bet on the game. Play your game with FanDuel, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. FanDuel Sportsbook is the official sportsbook of 94 WIP.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Deanna Roga, here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes of, a Crime House Original.
Crimes of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental, the scariest stories you've ever heard in your life, all told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.